Okay, we're going to take your calls with Jan Hodges. The next hour, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We'll take your phone calls this hour with Jan Newcomb Hodges. Jan, of all these technologies that we mentioned, the top 10 of your wish list, if you could only pick one and implement it right now, which one would it be?
Well, you know, to be selfish and everything else, I would go time machine. But for practical reasons, I'd probably go with the free energy.
If you could get it, yeah.
Yeah, if I could get it, yeah. So.
Well, that's gallant of you, I think, to be able to do that. You know, I do like the fact that maybe we can all have, solar-powered apparatuses in our homes and then store our own energy, maybe put back what we don't use on the grid. Some people are doing that now. I'd like to do it on a regular basis. I think we could power up our homes just that way, don't you?
No problem at all if we have the right battery technology. I think all the effort right now in anything, I think, primary, what people should be doing right now, companies, is developing a better battery technology.
That's a great idea. Battery for the home rather than to tap into the grid.
That's right. Then you're feeding your own battery. Whatever's left over, you can put back on the grid.
Even a battery that might be 4 feet by 4 feet, if it somehow was charged up, that would be incredible.
Just run your home on the battery, and the same battery could be plugged into your car if you know, if ready.
Just to charge it.
That's where I would go. I've been pushing that a lot.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's give you an opportunity to talk with our listeners this hour, the last hour we have you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello, this is John calling from Lima, Ohio.
Hello, John.
Good evening. Can we assume some scientific chronologies as far as, these things are neat to ponder, but, like, for example, if we're talking about growing organs, can we assume that the cure for cancer would come first, due to the regulation of cell division and so forth?
Yeah, I see cures coming first, definitely. That's the growing the organs and stuff is going to be secondary to that. Actually, I think the technology to create the cures will actually aid in the development of the new organ growths.
Yeah.
So that's I think the timeline is set up for a cure first and then.
Right. And then transplanting heads.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would assume that a cure for paralysis would be the front runner to that.
Yep. It's, definitely. I don't want to get into stem cell research here for a number of reasons, but it's going to be very beneficial in a lot of areas.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, those are good questions, too.
Yep.
Positioned properly, I think. Yep. West of the Rockies, you're up. Hi there.
Good evening.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, my question, it's in two parts. And first, with Fix Everything That Ails You?
Yes.
I'm wondering if everything could be fixed that ailed me, put in a database, and then saved, and then later transported.
Try that again. One more time for
one
us.
One more.
All right. I'm 66 years old.
Yep.
So I suffer from the things that the average 66-year-old person suffers from. However, if we could fix everything that ailed me, let's say within the next 10 years, I'd be a young 76. And then is there a database where you could put all that information, save it until, because you said it would be quite some time before we're transporting or teleporting.
Right.
Okay. Then teleport all that information into the database, make a new me that was made from the database.
I see what you're saying.
Okay, you follow that.
Sure, sure.
It's kind of clumsy, but...
Well, that's okay. It's kind of what we touched on earlier. Let's say what you're doing an aftermarket fix here. If let's say I was able to scan you when you were 45,
right,
and took all that information,
mm-hmm.
And then let's say I was able to store the database information first. I had that technology available to me,
right,
and then the actual teleportation process wouldn't happen for let's say 40 years. But when it did, I could then apply that database, transport it into you, and create you again at 45 with all of the experience and knowledge you have today. And, yeah, you know, that'd be an ideal situation for not only the cures, but the Fountain of Youth and, you know, a number of other things.
Yeah, it kind of just wraps it all up into one neat package.
Yeah, the problem is we can't do it all at once.
So no, that's why I was asking if we could store it and then move it to teleporting.
Yeah, I mean, would you rather be 23 when you came back? You know, I don't know. It's up to you.
Oh, you mean I could pick a time?
Yeah, yeah. You know, but we'd
that
have to
would be wonderful. Prior
we'd have to scan you at that date,
Yeah, prior to heart valve replacement,
prior
to strokes, prior to broken bones, and all the things that come on with.
Oh, yeah, I know how that goes.
Yeah.
I know. Well, thank you, dear. That's a good question.
Well, I do have one comment I'd like to make to George.
All right, sure.
George, I am absolutely hooked on this program. It's been about a year. I'm twice blessed because I've gotten to speak to you twice, and I know that's very unusual. And I want to let you know that I did call the White House, and I have let them know about the FDA and my displeasure with that.
Good for you.
And I have learned so much listening to this program, and I thank you for the service that you do.
Well, you are so welcome, and thanks for listening.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, great. We've got a tremendously loyal fan base here, Jan.
Oh, certainly.
Continues to grow by leaps and bounds, well, number one in every major market it's in, and it's been a family that supports this program in more ways than you can imagine.
Well, I certainly enjoy being a repeat guest on here because the emails I get the next day, you know, 600, 700, 800 are just wonderful.
Well, last time you were on with us, about 3 years ago.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I've been very busy.
Time goes by quick. Well, it gave you enough time to get together your top 10 future wish list.
Yeah.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello. Well, that person is no longer there. But you are, Jan, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. I'm here. You haven't cut me off.
All right, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Okay. My name's Francis. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Francis.
And I just wanted to let you know a couple things. Back in the early 70s, a young engineer whom I met in Florida, he was licensed to deal with nuclear waste from the nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
And just playing around, he made a battery for his golf cart out of the nuclear waste. Then he made another one for his car. And then he could make one for anybody's car. And it was totally protected in case of an accident or anything. But it was from the waste products from the nuclear plants. And the shelf life on it would be about 20 years. You'd use no gasoline, no oil, no anything. And it was very quiet. You there?
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, he had tried to introduce it to the American market, and they weren't interested. So he was going to go to the Dominican Republic and make his own. But one of those things, I saw the car. I saw the golf cart. I saw it operate. It wasn't just something of his imagination. I do not know what happened to him. He's just gone. But if he could do it, so could another.
I'd probably kidnapped the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Another thing, you're talking about computers. A family member has developed the world's fastest computer, and it runs cold, not hot. It will take in a multitude of information and spit it out faster than you can think.
When you say a family member, you mean somebody within your family?
Yes.
When's this hit the market?
He's looking for people for investors. He's out in Las Vegas.
Oh, he is. Well, I'm sure he'll find somebody.
Well, I'm telling you, he's on the Internet. But it's the world's fastest, and Pentel, one of those companies has already tested it, and they says it's a winner.
They like it.
Oh, yes.
All right, we'll keep our eyes out for it.
Okie doke.
It was announced first here, right here on the program. How about that, Jan?
Wow, the nuclear battery here, it kind of brings to mind, is it actually a battery or is it a mini reactor? You know, all he needs is a couple pellets in there with some H2 to slow down the speed of the electron passage. You only need a 1 foot distance to create it to get the about 115 strikes as it goes across. And, you know, you've got some energy there. It would probably be enough to run a golf cart, but I hate to have the thing tip over or have somebody crash into it.
Did you ever see the Twilight Zone show, I Sing the Body Electric, one of Ray Bradbury's scripts?
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
That was the one where the family lost its mother.
Yep,
and
they
guy
got the robot.
Yeah, he went to the store and bought the robot.
Yep.
That ever going to happen like that?
No. No. Nope.
What do you mean, no? I've got my money set aside for my robot, for crying out loud.
What we're going to have is probably appliances and devices where actually home takes care of itself. We're getting close to that now. We're going to have some of the technology. We'll be able to go out and buy microwave dinners. You put them in the microwave. The microwave detects the dinner, cooks it at the right speed, the right temperature. You know, everything will be able to communicate back and forth. We're going to have more and more smart products dealing with our smart home devices. So your home itself will be the robot.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Kim. From Kansas City.
Mo or Kansas?
Kim.
No, not. Are you from Missouri or Kansas?
Missouri.
Okay.
I was wondering if hackers have these programs available right now, bad ones, like bad, you know, to do evil things, because my computer was hacked into. And it has all this technology on it, what you're talking about, the radio frequencies, the AI, and, I mean, and I've not been able to connect to the internet for 5 years now. I've had microwaves blow out. I've had refrigerators go bad. I mean, I'm talking 6 microwaves, 2 refrigerators, TVs. The batteries in our car, batteries all around our house. And I'm wondering if it might have something to do, you know,
with you.
The hackers.
Do you live near power lines?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. Mm. I mean, there's power lines everywhere.
I mean, major power
lines. In a neighborhood. I mean.
Okay.
All right, Jan, what if she's doing it? She's got this energy. She's zapping everything.
Boy, you know, she just, you know,
it's possible.
I don't want to, Kim, I don't want to freak you out by saying you do, but you may have the power, dear. But
do you work with hackers?
Yeah, I work with hackers and I work against hackers.
Okay.
So I don't think a hacker
would hit an
individual house.
No. It's not affecting your other appliances. The only thing it would affect would be your computer.
It's not affecting other people either in the neighborhood, apparently.
No. So.
It's her.
Yeah.
You've heard of people go past streetlights and they go on, they go off. And I'm not talking about because of car lights getting in the way or anything. They physically have this ability to do this.
Well, certainly. They have a cross-frequency modulation of their biofrequency or something that is right in that bandwidth that their pulsation is just whacking it.
I've got to ask you this, you know, reverse engineering. there are some who say that we've had extraterrestrial engineering, we've reversed it, and that's why we have leapfrogged over everybody.
Okay.
What do you think?
All right, let's take a civilization that's only 800 years ahead of us. If there were such a thing.
If there were.
And let's say that they somehow built some craft and left it down here on us for us to take apart, look at, and back engineer. Let's take our own civilization and go back 800 years, and let's say we just sort of dropped an automobile off back in 1207. The first thing they're going to do when they see that automobile, the same thing we're going to do when we see this device here, is how do we take it apart? First, what is it, the philosophy of what does it do, and next, let's take it apart. But if you're back in 1207, somebody say, let's cook it because it looks too rare to eat. Back in 1207, first of all, they would have to have the entire technology developed to create Phillips head screwdrivers, wrenches, adjustable sockets, I mean, on and on and on. Okay, so that's a whole different industry, a whole new technology that had to be created, you know, 300 or 400 years before it had to. That's the same situation we're having with a technology only 800 years ahead of us. We don't even have the tools to take it apart yet. We have to develop the technology just to get to that level. So it's a whole industry. It's a whole way of approaching it And again, what does it do? We have to have that information right off the bat. There's not a, I'm sure there's not a owner's manual sitting in the seat of it. So if there is alien technology, it's going to remain alien for a while until we build up the technology to be able to back engineer it. In other words, everything we have today, technology-wise, televisions and everything else, contains the technology that came before it. We will not, we cannot deal with something that we haven't reached yet. We don't have the tools to take it apart and work with it. We have to work our way up to it. So it's a huge leap for us to go 800 years in the future to say, what kind of tools are we going to need to test it, to take it apart, to examine it? So it's a great effort to approach it in that level.
But you don't think possible?
Yeah, it's possible.
It is possible.
It is possible.
All right.
Yes.
Well,
yes. I'm not going to say no to anything on that level.
What are you working on in the future here? What's next on your plate?
What I'm working on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know where I work, and I can't tell anybody else where I work.
Okay. I do know.
Yeah.
You might want to. Why don't you explain though why you're not telling people where you work?
I deal a lot with Homeland Security, Department of Defense, the military services, technologies that are way out there, technologies that are helping the ecology, technologies that are helping us tackle medical breakthroughs, open source software, expert systems, underwater exploration, unmanned aerial vehicle technology. I mean, we are moving in all of these directions.
Are we way ahead of other countries technologically?
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to help us.
Yep. We are way ahead.
I mean, do we have things that we can't even imagine right now to help defend us?
Yes.
Good. Are we using some things in battle, Jan, that
yes.
we're not being told?
Yes.
You're a little coy here, Jan. sound like you're on a court.
Come on, George.
All right. We'll move right. on. We're going to take other calls. We're just coming up to this break right here.
Right.
Where can you get your book?
It's online for free. Just go in there and grab it.
Well, wait a minute. It's online for free?
Yeah.
You mean a book for free?
Yeah.
I don't even do that.
Yeah, I do that.
I give mine away if you sponsor a kid.
Nah.
But you give yours. What do you mean, yeah? You'd sponsor a kid, wouldn't you?
For sure, I would.
Okay, good. But you're giving your book away for free?
Yeah, this last one. The new one, you know, it'll be for sale. And
so they just go to your website,
yep.
which is linked at coasttocoastam.com, and just
right.
get the book.
Just get it.
I guess you got to pay for shipping and handling, don't you?
No, it's downloadable.
Downloadable. Okay.
It's electronic.
All right, I like that. Okay, yeah. Jan, stay with us. We'll come right back. We'll take final phone calls with you before next hour, which will be open lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, I was talking with Bill Burns, who wrote the best-selling book with Philip Corso, The Day After Roswell. He was also the one who partnered up with me, and we wrote the book Worker in the Light. And he said that there are some few copies left, hardback copies left of Worker in the Light. So if you'd like to pick it up, it's at your favorite bookstore, or Amazon.com has a batch left. And if you would like, just email me and I'll forward it on to Tom, and we'll get you a signature sticker that you can put inside of the book there if you would like. Worker in the Light, available at Amazon.com or your favorite bookstores. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Jan Hodges, and we're going to take final phone calls right here. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, it's Char. By the way, not Char.
Okay,
hi,
Char.
Hi,
not
George
Char.
And Jan. I was just wondering, say, fast forward like a thousand years or so, and man has... you know, been successful in creating all of the wonderful things that you think that he will with this technology. Flip that. Say the opposite happened, and in a thousand years from now, everything is gone to hell in a handbasket. Wouldn't now be a good time if we were trying to save ourselves Wouldn't now be a good time to come back?
Okay. There's two different thoughts on here on invention, innovation. The things we're inventing right now and innovating, you know, we're getting new MP3 players. We have this little gadget and that gadget. If we were on a desert island, what technology would we need? Absolutely basic. You know, what would we need to invent right now that would take care of whatever we need on a basic level? And that's what we're kind of focusing on. You know, not on the neat things and the toys and the gadgets. So communication devices, power systems, fuels, medical, things like that. And even if it goes to hell in a handbasket, we should be able to have the energy systems that will sustain us, to keep us going, without relying on external sources. You know, so we have the sun, we have the atmosphere, the particles, ways of generating water, creating water out of infusion of hydrogen oxygen through elemental particle infusion, ways of cleaning water through membrane ionization, things like that. So that's where we're focusing right now on the new stuff we need.
Okay, east of the Rockies. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Tim from Brockport, New York.
Hey, Tim.
I just had a question. When you were talking about teleporting, like the carrot across the room, I was thinking with the brand new carrot that would come out, I was thinking of Michael Crichton's book. It was Timeline, when they're talking about teleportation. And it basically said that you'll rematerialize, and they compared it to doing a copy of a sheet of paper. Like if you make a piece of paper and copy it, it's never a perfect copy of it. So it would apply to a human being as well. Have they ever considered that? Like if you ever tried to teleport a human being, would, you know, they have veins that wouldn't line up properly?
Yeah, what do you do with the defects, Jan?
Yeah, well, that's the problem we're going to have because, again, we go back to as we scan individual electrons, photons, and all this, we're only grabbing that moment in time. When we put it back together again, it may be inside out on some portions that the particle may be in a half spin or a quarter spin, that photon may have been in vertical polarization, you know, just the little things. And those little things could add up because it may affect the DNA because we may be zapping that stuff. So it's not going to be an identical 100% copy. It's going to have all the correct data at that moment in time it was created. But as we all know, 10 minutes from now, we're going to lose, or you know, a billion cells of our body and recreate them. If I transmit the data I took 10 minutes ago, it's not going to be the same as I am now. So there's going to be a lot of things we got to work on, definitely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Next up, first-time caller line. Your turn. You're on with Jan Hodges. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Joseph from New Orleans.
Okay, Joseph.
Hey, I got a question. I guess it relates to your the flying car technologies.
Yeah.
Is there any work going on into like electromagnetic anti-gravity or mechanical anti-gravity?
Yeah, there is. It's not anti-gravity. It's called gravity push. Let's just say yes. Things are being done. The problem we're having right now is the power supplies, the energy required to generate the thrust we need, the repulsion, the push is the power supplies and all the energy creation supplies are larger than the actual device can lift. So yeah, you would have a nice electromagnetic flying car with an extension cord, So we're trying to work on power systems, more smaller power system, battery power, things like that, to actually run the devices that will create these required effects.
Okay. In the 1960s, this guy named Dean built a mechanical, I guess, gravity push device.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his name is Joseph Campbell, the analog championed it a little bit. But, you know, since then, nothing. It took rotating masses, and it was an interesting way how it worked. Mm-hmm. But it you know, it seems like something like that would have should have been, you know, a little more pushed.
Yeah, you thought it would have caught on, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's say Sunday morning, you open your newspaper, and all of a sudden there's a picture of a brand-new flying car without any word that it was coming. Who would you put out of business immediately? Well, the tire companies, the hydraulics companies, the anybody with propulsion engines, you know, internal combustion engines. I mean, it would just totally throw our entire economy right in the ditch there, because we're based, most of our economy is based on the automotive industry, and mm-hmm. So you're gonna get a lot of opposition on something
yeah.
like that. So what you're gonna have to do is work with the companies that actually, you know, if I'm gonna create an anti-gravity device, I'm probably gonna go to General Motors and tout it to them, or you know, other companies, rather than try to put it out on my own. Or if I did put it out on my own, I'd make sure that it would be, I'd have enough backing. And you're not going to get it at this point.
Yeah. Hey, that electric gravity device, wouldn't that be better as like a space drive or something? Mars in 10 days at 1G acceleration?
Yeah, it'd be wonderful. The trick is just getting off this rock. Now, what you're going to have to do is have enough energy to initially lift yourself up and then use the attraction of the moon to pull yourself towards it. But you're going to have to get up at least 25 miles in order for that to happen.
Wow.
There's some problems incurred there. I don't know if you're going to have to go 7 miles per second to break the atmosphere. If you're only floating up there like, 20 miles an hour, it may take you forever to get up there. But there's a number of issues that we have to address on that. But yeah, once you're out in space, it's no problem. You just say, okay, I'm going to push away from Earth and being pulled by the moon. I get close to the moon, I just switch it and say, I want to be pushing the moon now, and I want to go to Mars. So you just point it in the direction you want to go, and away you go.
Is warp drive possible, Jan?
No.
No?
No. Not right now, no.
Let's go east of the Rockies. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Ty there, good morning.
Good morning. Very interesting program.
Thank you.
After hearing your list, the most interesting technology on the list seems to me to be the replicator. It changed the world completely, because even if it costs billions of dollars to make it, if the energy to replicate was low enough, you could basically, if I'm correct, eliminate need in the entire world. You could just replicate replicators, and it would completely change the economics of the world, because no one would have to, you could create gold, you could create diamonds. I mean, am I accurate with this?
Yeah, you're accurate. Any device that can recreate an elemental, an element, if you will, you've pretty much taken, you've gotten rid of the economic structure of the world. Basically, everything would be free. We'd set up another type of credit payment system for your work and things like that. It would be a great device. Let's say we're going to create recreate food. Well, I don't, you know, we could probably replicate it, but I don't think that there would be vitamins in it or the minerals required, or, you know, I don't know about the taste and stuff like that. We can recreate the actual physical makeup of it.
From what I heard, that this technology is actually probably hundreds of years away, even far as fast as technology is moving today. Is that accurate, or do you know more than we do?
And can I tell you? Let's say a lot of effort is not being put into it right now. Okay?
Okay.
Certain experiments have been done. Certain things have been realized. Now it's a matter of, do we want to put the resources behind this to take it to the next level? And again, is it worth it at this point? Should we be doing something else? Like on that top 10 list, maybe we should be doing this first before we do this. So that's the kind of mindset that's going on right now.
Jan, for years, people have been reporting seeing a large triangular-shaped object, and
Wow. A
lot of them are near military bases.
Uh-huh.
What do you know about that?
Wow, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Is that all you're going to tell us?
That's about it.
Could you tell us more?
No.
Okay. I didn't say, do you want to? I said, could you?
Okay, that's good phrasing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We still won't say anything.
No.
All right. How about a secret space program?
Oh, boy. You know, we have to go back to what Richard said earlier, okay? Basically, shuttle should be put to bed, okay?
Yeah.
And it's like Star Trek has probably given us more of the entire space program, you know? It's unfortunate.
Have we continued to go to the moon when we thought we stopped?
We stopped.
Why did you say that with such a hesitation?
Isn't that what I'm supposed to say? It says right here in the script.
Not my script.
Oh, this must be the one I got from the other people.
Yeah, I hope I'm not asking you things that could put you in trouble.
I just won't answer.
Like this one.
Or I'll change the subject. Or.
How come you don't say no?
Well, what you said was, do I want to, or, you know, that's, or do I have to, or, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, I'm caught on the cusp. I'm on that.
Of course, you wouldn't blame me for trying here, would you?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, I've only got 10 more minutes with you, Jan. I'm trying to squeeze you as much as I can.
Well, maybe I'll hit L.A. here in a couple of weeks and just sit around and...
Give me one character.
Yeah.
Just one.
Jeez.
I won't attribute it to you. I mean, have we, when we stopped the Apollo program, did we keep going in with a black ops program?
A number of, you know, what it led to was the technology of manufacturing, okay? The ability to manufacture components, the carbon fiber operations, the robotic systems required to make different units, components for the space program, things like that phased into where we are today with all our stealth technology and all this. The space program was very, very beneficial in providing that to us. Presently, we don't have any real reason to go back to the moon unless you want to go mine it or use it as a jumping off point or setting up colonization for communications and observation facilities and environmental testing and all that, yeah. But is that really, again, on the list of things we have to do immediately? Should we allocate resources for that? Well, no, not really. I think it's more exciting what we're doing with Mars. And Richard has definitely got his thumb on that.
Have you seen the picture that he found that was given to him, by the way, by some friends and associates of his, of... It looks like the head of CP3O on the moon.
Yes, Data's head.
Yeah, it looks incredible. Have you seen that picture?
No, I have not.
Okay, I've got to get it to you because I'd love to get your reaction to it.
All right.
So you're not saying whether we've continued to go on to the moon or not? Man.
No, there's really no reason for us to do that. The technology we acquired helped us get up to this point with our stealth technology, our communications, our navigational systems, our GPS capabilities, satellites, our software, computers. I mean, a lot of things helped bring us to where we are today based on the space program, you know, and along with Velcro. And some mattress thing, you know, you can lay on and conforms to your body.
Do you think the astronauts that did go to the moon saw something they never told us about?
Every one of them saw something. And again, you know, we all see things. And they reported on the other channels. And they were all investigated and they were looked into. And
like maybe alien craft and things like that?
What's alien? Something we didn't build? Something that shouldn't be there?
Yeah.
Yeah, something that shouldn't be there.
Okay. They saw things like that.
Yeah.
And even though publicly they would say they never did.
Publicly.
You know, I believe you. You may be one of the few people I absolutely trust explicitly. And if you tell me they did, I believe they did. If you tell me they didn't, I believe that,
yeah,
too.
They saw things, George. It's whether it was alien craft or whatever, you know, I don't know.
You know, some people think, Jan, that we had civilizations millions of years ago that were advanced, that we might have gone to the moon, let's say, a million years ago, that there could be remnants of that civilization when they went to the moon. I wonder if they saw things like that.
I mean, it's you know, we've been around, what, 30,000 years or something, you know, that we know of. That's on this phase. Okay, maybe we're phase 10 of what's been here. Where did that pyramid technology come from, for crying out loud, you know? And how come every civilization on the planet had it?
Absolutely. Let's take another quick call for you. Wild card line, you're on. You got about a minute. Go ahead.
Is this me, George?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's great. Hey, I appreciate the honesty of him, and I can tell when he's telling the truth.
Me too. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
Or not telling us anything.
Yeah. He's good at that. I love it. Maybe he can help out our attorney general with some of his questions. Hey, I had a couple of quick questions for him, too, with the progress of technology. I know that in the 70s and 80s, we thought that gene therapy was going to be like the panacea, and then stem cell, and now it's stem cell combo nano is going to be the way to immortality by the repairing of the telomeres, the cells. And I was going to get his opinion. Does he think that this is something in the next 25 or 50 years or way beyond that?
And a minute to go, Jan. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I believe firmly in stem cell research and what they're doing with that. Gene therapy, that got us up to another level. Nanotechnology, the only thing I see in nanotechnology is the devices we use to do the medical operations, the scanning operations, such as tunneling diodes and things like that, for doing our backscatter, our next step in surgery procedures and x-rays and things like that. I'd say within 25 years, we're going to see some great, great breakthroughs. So I'm hanging in there.
All right. Jan, thank you for so much, not only for your candor, but also for just enlightening us about new technology. I appreciate it.
Well, anytime, George.
Let's not make it 3 years next time, okay?
Well, geez, call me when I'm in town here.
When you come to Los Angeles, track me down, would you?
I will.
We'll get together. I'll even buy you lunch.
I'd love it.
If you tell me what the astronauts really saw.
Okay.
Deal?
Okay. All right.
I love it. I'll be back. We'll have open lines in just a moment. He works, and I can't tell you where, but he works in an area for the government. And I got to tell you, I think he is honest to the day. And when he says Apollo moon mission astronauts saw something that shouldn't be there, that's huge. That's a huge story. Matt Drudge, go with it tomorrow. It's all yours. I'll be back.